Hey everyone, welcome to this week's episode of the Live Support Ops Hangout. I'm your host, Chase. So Carolyn and Jeff are out this week, roaming somewhere. I don't know. I forget. They told me and then I forgot. I'm sorry. So we've got Chase Livingston, as always, who is fantastic. We've also got Dana, who is a special guest. So let's introduce them real quick and then we'll jump into the topic. Chase, good looking blue shirt. I'm glad you got the memo.
I tell you what, Chase, we might as well be twins. I mean, we already have the same name, so.
Yeah, same name, same beard, same shirt. I mean, that's one of those. Again, if you're not watching the video, it's worth it alone to see the weird, crazy coincidence that we're basically wearing the same shirt.
Totally missing out if you're not on the video.
And then this week we've got Diana from Customer IO, who's been on the show before. So as always, it's great to have you back.
It's good to be back. I really wish you guys had given me the memo about the blue plaid shirt. I'm feeling kind of, you know, incorrectly dressed here, but
that's the cool thing with us.
Depending on how you look at it.
Exactly. You've got the style. You've got the fashion sense, as opposed to us who just, I literally pick out something from the closet behind me and throw it on.
That's all I do too. I just, you know, didn't get the memo about blue plaid. And I really didn't have enough time to grow a beard. So.
Yeah, I can understand. Maybe a pass on that.
Now for Christmas, in like 8 months or whatever it is, 10 months, I'm going to ship you one of those, the knitted beards, so you can wear it next time. That's going to be awesome. All right, this week we're talking about something that everybody goes through, and those are bad days. I mean, you have them, I have them, everybody you know is going to have a bad day sometime or later. Sometimes it's one of those just frustrating customer experiences. You know, maybe you've got one that just isn't giving you the info you need, or somebody that's blaming you for something that's completely out of your control. Maybe it's you launch this big new feature and it just goes horribly awry as soon as the team launches it. So now you're dealing with downtime and customers writing in and just that kind of a headache. You know, everyone has bad days, but not everyone handles the same way, and it's how you handle them that we want to talk about. So we're going to be talking about just different ways that you can cope with those kind of lousy days, and hopefully they'll help you get through the next time that you run across one of those. So since Dana is the guest on this one, our special guest, quote unquote, let's give her the first shot at this one. So you have, you know, whenever – Maybe not today, because today is a great day since you're on the show. But last week, maybe, or the week before, you had a bad day for whatever reason. What's the first thing that you do after you, like, stop answering emails?
I either take my dog for a really long walk, or I'll take a bubble bath. But basically, like, I shut my office door, and I do something that's going to take my mind completely off work. That's my thing.
I like that, you know, especially as far as like you shut the office door. I'm kind of the same way. So like I have so if anybody hasn't ever listened to the show before, we're all remote workers. If the backgrounds didn't give it away, I'm kind of the same way. You know, I work in the office for the most part, and if it's a particularly bad day, then I'm kind of the same way. I put my laptop in there on the desk. I shut the door and I just walk away, because that's one of those, like, I don't know. Does it help you as far as like having a physical barrier kind of there?
If I don't have a shut door, I will end up going back to my laptop and checking on things and dwelling over them. I found if I shut the door, it works better for me. Until one of my cats wants into my office, and then I'm forced to open it, and I need to train them not to do that.
So Chase, what about you? So you know you had a bad day for whatever. I keep saying that phrase, and I don't know if y'all are the same way, but all I can hear is that American Idol song. You know, about the having a bad day all that. If we had theme songs, maybe that could have been that one for this episode. But so Chase, you had a bad day for whatever reason. What's the first thing you do after you can safely get off work?
I like Diana spending time with her dog. My dog as well is pretty relaxing and gets my mind off of things. And also just, you know, spending some time with my wife, maybe going out to dinner or something like that if we can, to just, you know, de-stress and talk about other things. And, you know, hopefully she hasn't also had a bad day, because then it kind of is not so fun. But, yeah, usually that is the kind of two big things that help me de-stress and recover after a bad day.
See, the trick is the restaurant has to have a good bar. Like here in town, there's a great Mexican restaurant with margaritas that are like massive. It's just easy, right?
There you go.
So, you know, Chase, does that, is there any difference between, you know, if the root of your bad day is from like a frustrating customer versus like other problems going on, like, you know, maybe a failed launch for a feature, or maybe somebody on the team is just really bugging you or whatever like that. Is it still kind of the same methods for de-stressing and kind of getting out of that funk?
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, a frustrating customer or, you know, that kind of thing. I try to handle, you know, in the midst of it rather than, you know, having to wait till the end of the day. You know, you could either try to somehow calm the user down if they're angry or something like that. Or a lot of times what we amongst our team will do is if it's, you know, something that is just really annoying or the customer is just being really rude, we'll just hand them off to somebody else and just transfer the ticket over altogether to kind of, you know, just let it go and see if maybe they'll respond better to somebody else's personality. But, you know, like you said, with, you know, frustrations with team members or other things, you know, there's not really anything you can do to step away from that, unless you just take the rest of the day off or whatever. So yeah, those are a little bit harder and, you know, the kinds of things that, I would kind of fall back to the, cuddling with the dog or something like that to, get some stress relief.
Dog therapy. It works. Guaranteed. So yeah, I mean, I think we kind of have a good distinction here as far as, you know, when it comes to work anyways, there's two big sources of frustration or causes for the bad day, right? So there's customers on one hand, or there's internal stuff going on, like team members or failed launch or whatever happens. So Dana, when you're talking to, let's take the customer one first. So when you're talking to a customer, that's the source of your frustration here. We were talking before the show a little bit about, you know, sometimes customers blame you for things that are out of your control. You know, bad integration's gone wrong, bad setup's gone wrong, something like that. How do you handle a frustrating customer like that? Not as far as like how do you deal with them, but how do you deal with like separating yourself from that kind of nasty situation? I mean, like Chase and I, we usually just like, you know, can pass it off to somebody else, but you're kind of solo support. So what do you do?
Well, sometimes I'll ask one of our developers to take it over just so that I can pass it on. Otherwise, sometimes you just kind of have to grit your teeth and get through it. Unfortunately, like I take things personally. So if I've got a customer who's just really, really upset, I always feel like I failed them. And that one really is like my toughest one to really get over. One thing I've been doing a lot lately is I painted this wall right here next to my desk as a big chalkboard. And so like every time I have a frustrating ticket, I work on a little chalk mural a little bit. So it's just like getting away from a ticket for a few minutes and just doing something creative. But really like, cause I can't hand off a lot of tickets. I just kind of have to get through it and then take a few minutes away. Pet the dog. Really, it is all about the dog therapy. People can't see it, but I have a dog at my feet right now. She works in my office all day, every day. So she's just there to soothe me.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of those, like, you know, we talk about, like, it's the internet, so it's full of cats and that kind of thing. Dogs are way better as far as therapy goes. Just my two cents. I'm probably going to get nasty emails being like, no, I'm a cat person.
I have three cats, too. I just have to say that. So they can be soothing as well, but they do not cooperate when I want to take them for a walk.
So send them emails to me, not to Diana.
Yeah.
So you mentioned, you know, working on a chalk mural, taking a couple of minutes away. What's the good kind of time frame? Because I know for me, like, if I have a frustrating customer and I need to step away for a minute, I do the same thing. It's, you know, it's a good time to, like, let the dogs out, run around the yard for a minute, that kind of thing. But it still feels not like I'm, like, abandoning the customer or anything like that, because you're going to come back. But, you know, like, it kind of feels like you're leaving. So how long is a good amount of time to kind of, you know, disconnect from that situation a little bit to the point where you could come back and help out?
I think it depends on the actual support query. I mean, if it's someone who's got something that's just horrifyingly broken, I'm really not going to do more than maybe get up, walk out of my office and back in to take a deep breath. Whereas if it's just something where someone's just really, really confused in a very aggressive way, I don't feel so bad leaving them for like half an hour. and then coming back. And sometimes like they'll have even calmed down in the meantime and sent a message of like, oh, you know, I fixed it. I'm sorry that I jumped all over you guys. And it really depends on the urgency. If it's really urgent, not very long. If it's not that urgent, I mean, that sounds bad, but sometimes you got to look after yourself.
Yeah, because, I mean, that's true. It's one of those, and I like that, you know, looking after yourself kind of thing, because if you're helping 10, 15 customers, you know, over the course of an hour or so, one person having a frustrating experience with one of those customers is going to bleed off into the rest of them. So sometimes you've got to step back a little bit. Chase, you know, we mentioned passing off tickets, you know, having a developer or somebody else take over that ticket because you can't handle it at that point for whatever reason. How do you pass off a ticket like that delicately without the customer feeling like, oh, they're just going to shove me off to somebody else who won't even understand my problem?
A lot of times, you know, we won't even necessarily, you know, mention that to the customer. I'll just ping one of our, you know, other team members. We use Slack for communication. So, you know, we'll just chat there and, you know, say, hey, I have this really rough ticket and just not really getting anywhere with this customer, this user. Would somebody else mind taking it to see if, you know, they might be able to connect with them a little better? And, you know, that's that. And even, you know, that happens a lot of times, even if we're, you know, covering for somebody for a day or something like that. If they have some old replies sitting in the queue still, we'll, you know, just basically take those over and answer on our own. So I haven't found that, you know, users are really jarred or upset or anything by that, by switching, you know, customer support agents or happiness engineers. So it's not something we worry too much about. And, you know, occasionally we'll, with live chat, actually, it's a little more interesting. Sometimes we'll say, you know, you need to, pass you off to a manager, or if they ask to speak to a manager or something like that. We don't really have managers at Automatic, so we'll just, you know, transfer them to somebody else. As far as tickets go, yeah, it's just kind of somebody else just replies and continues from the point that you left off.
Yeah, Dan, is it the same way kind of with you? Because it's a little bit more of a big jump since it's going, you know, from a support person over to a developer. But is there any kind of softening of that transition that you do?
Not really. I mean, the most we might do is say, like, this is so-and-so replying for Diana or whatever. I mean, I'd say, like, in previous jobs, I was that escalation point. Whenever someone just had a really frustrating ticket, it always came to me. Which made for some entertaining days sometimes, but really, like, there's no reason to be like, you know, so and so asked me to take this over. It's sometimes like so and so asked me to take a look, and then like I'll make a point of saying, you know, I'm taking a step back. Let's cover some of this beginning material again, sort of thing. But if it's just it's a fairly simple thing, and you just need someone else's name attached to it, I just hand it, they reply. Sometimes I've been known to write the reply and just get them to click send. Sometimes just another name is all the customer needs. Mm-hmm. So like, I can't stand seeing this Diana lady anymore. Just, you know.
I love that. Just copy and paste and then boom. Just send it as your reply and you're good to go. That's awesome. Phil brought up, Phil, for people that don't know, is over at FreshBooks, support person there. And him and I were talking about this topic a little while ago too. And he brought up a good point about making sure that, you know, you differentiate between taking it personally and taking it professionally. And we touched on that for just a minute there for a couple of minutes ago. As far as, you know, I'm kind of like Dana. It's a very personal experience. You're talking to somebody else that's reaching out for you for some kind of help, and you don't want to just like leave them hanging. That just it's kind of a weird feeling. So Chase, do you run into that kind of feeling as well? Like, how do you split it out, like personally, professionally, and that kind of thing, or is it like how do you deal with that?
Yeah, I definitely do. You know, sometimes, but I guess I've kind of learned over the years that I've been doing this to not take it so personally. It's something that I've really, you know, worked on because, you know, it definitely is a big problem. Especially, you know, for folks just starting out in support or who are kind of new to the kind of support that you know, the companies we work for provide, it can be really easy to take things personally if you're really invested in the product and that kind of thing. So I've worked on that and try not to take it as personally as I might have in the past. But, you know, there are definitely instances and cases where I still, you know, struggle with that.
Yeah, so I know, what about you? You know, we dived into it a little bit, but I want to go a little bit deeper here. How do you handle not letting, you know, somebody's freaking out on you just affect you too personally?
You know, if it's just someone who's freaking out for absolutely, like, no reason, I'm good with that. It's not me. All I can do is, like, help them with the product. But there are those occasional times where, like, I did something wrong because no one's perfect and I might have given them, like, incorrect information and then they freak out and that's on me. I've yet to figure out a way not to take that personally because it is kind of personal. But I also think that that's good in a way because when I'm apologizing to them, it's, you know, I took it personally. You know, it's a very honest from the heart apology. But yeah, I mean, if it had nothing to do with me, it's solely just the product. Sometimes people will be frustrating. And it's tough sometimes not to take it personally when they're saying really horrible things because they're aiming it at you. But otherwise it's just kind of a matter of remembering that they're talking about the product, not me. But yeah, it's something I struggle with a lot. Support hires for empathy. You know, if we're not sitting there thinking about what it's like in the customer's shoes and everything, if we're not like taking things personally, then, you know, it's just kind of what we're here for sometimes, which makes it really difficult, I think.
Yeah, that was one of those, you know, I think I might have told this story in a previous hangout, but, you know, when I was working up at this catering deli up in Nashville, the deli was around a lot of hospitals. There was, I think, 5 or 6, like, within walking distance of the location. And there was this one lady I remember who just come out and was all upset about the fact that her Reuben didn't have enough Russian dressing on it and just was, you know, berating the deli and the establishment and the managers and basically, you know, everybody that I would. She probably blamed even like the electric company in there because they powered the deli at one point, but it was just like this full on just blast of negativity and hatred and everything coming toward us because we didn't put enough Russian dressing on her sandwich. And it's really easy in those kind of cases to take it personally since, you know, you're the one that's kind of absorbing all of this frustration and anger and whatever else coming your way. But at the same time, you've got to step back and, you know, as she calmed down and we started to talk a little bit more, it turned out she had a kid in one of the hospitals that wasn't doing really well. And it was just kind of like this, she needed this cathartic release of some sort and that's how she found it. So, you know, when you have frustrating customers like that, it can, you know, I could have left the deli that day being really upset and being just, you know, emotionally drained and that kind of thing and having a bad day, but you have to kind of separate out a little bit and realize like, it's not your fault what's going on. It was not just a case of not enough Russian dressing on a Reuben, although I did check to make sure there was enough on her replacement sandwich. Yeah, so all right, so that's the customer side of things. Let's talk about when you're having a bad day because of something that's going on internally, you know, bad feature launch, maybe some project you're working on didn't end up going as well as you wanted it to or something like that. Chase, we'll start with you. Not that this ever happens with any of our teams, but when you have somebody hypothetically on your team that is just the cause of frustration for this day, you know, maybe that person isn't pulling their weight. Maybe that person is, you know, not thinking about the team as a whole and just thinking really selfishly, you know, whatever reason it is that's causing this bad day to kind of cascade your way. How do you deal with something like that, Chase?
Yeah, those are definitely tough situations. And obviously the solutions aren't as easy as just passing a ticket on to somebody else and forgetting about it. Yeah, those are the times when you really have to, maybe as Diana said earlier, with some of the tickets she has, kind of just grit your teeth and try your best to just get through the day, because a lot of times there's not a whole lot you can do about it. You know, especially if you're not in a position to just take the day off. I mean, it would be nice to take every bad day you had off and just forget about work and not have to worry about it. But, you know, in reality, we can't all do that. So sometimes you just have to grit your teeth or, you know, just keep your feelings to yourself and get through the day and hope you're not super rude to all the customers that you reply to during that day and that kind of thing. And so, I mean, if it's a situation where you feel like you could, you know, reach out maybe one-on-one and talk to the person and see if you can come to a resolution that way, I would definitely suggest doing that. That's not always possible, depending on what kind of issue it is. But that's another kind of course of action you might be able to take. But, you know, like I said, in the times that I've, you know, kind of experienced that or something similar, a lot of times you just kind of have to push through it and hope for the hope for a better day tomorrow.
Diana, so again, our teams are perfect. We never experienced anything like this at this or previous jobs, so I'll just preface it by that. But yeah, have you ever run into a hypothetical situation like that where, you know, your team member was the cause of that frustration and was causing that bad day? Like, what do you do?
It depends on why. So if it's just someone who's just like causing frustrations, not pulling their own weight, not being helpful, something like that, it's almost like your example of the deli without, you know, enough dressing and stuff. I like to take a step back and think about why this person might be having those problems. Sometimes I kind of feel like it's the same thing with really upset customers. If you can take a step back and think about, you know, maybe they've been having a really awesome, you know, really, really awful day, and it's all just kind of cascading onto you. If I just kind of give them all the benefit of the doubt and just like assume that they're just having an off day, you know, it actually makes me a whole lot more cheerful. And then I put on really loud anger music and grit my teeth and really good hits.
Really out loud angry music. I like that. It's Swedish metal or something.
Well, it's easy to tell if I'm having like a frustrating day, because I'll have Rage Against the Machine playing on like repeat.
Nice.
Oh, sorry, just you listening to Rage Against the Machine is probably the funniest thing I've heard all day.
Okay. I was listening to it earlier.
That's fantastic. Okay, since we're all remote, I want to get your take on this kind of thing too. So, you know, you mentioned having, you know, somebody else on the team's having a bad day and it's kind of cascading down. I think as remote workers, we tend to be more susceptible as far as like reading into things, right? So like somebody, you know, like maybe ops is having a bad day for whatever reason, and so they post this really terse, tense message or something in your, you know, P2 or your messaging board or whatever it is. How do you keep yourself from like reading way too much into something like that? Because I know I've seen messages before where it's like, wait, was that directed at me? I feel like that was directed at me. Like, Chase, what do you do with something like that?
Yeah, I've definitely, you know, been guilty of that and am always guilty of that. A lot of times it's hard not to. You know, knowing kind of the background for what's going on is helpful. So, you know, if there's a way to kind of gauge or maybe insert yourself into a conversation or lurk in a conversation that's going on that you find out, oh, this is why they're having such a bad day. So this is probably why their response, they sounded like a jerk to me, even though I know this person is normally really nice and I thought we had a good relationship. So knowing the background helps. But otherwise, if you don't know that, you know, text communication in general lacks a lot of cues, and especially, you know, verbal and physical cues that you might get if you were working in an office with somebody. So sometimes you just have to take what they say with a grain of salt and maybe, you know, just understand that they probably didn't mean to come off so terse or so rude. And just, you know, accept it for what it is and move on. I've, you know, had that happen many times. And, you know, later somebody goes back and reads the messages that they left and maybe comes back and apologizes and says, hey, I, you know, didn't realize that sounded so short and so jerkish. You know, sorry about that. And so, you know, you also have those kind of cases where people just don't realize, you know, what their tone sounds like to whoever's going to be reading it. So yeah, sometimes you just have to, you know, kind of brush your shoulder off and keep going.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of those where, let me preface this by saying, I'm pretty much like a typical guy. So like when I text other people, it's really short and really succinct and that kind of thing, usually. I never even thought about that until I got into this job where, you know, we're taught to be more careful with the words that we choose and the way that we phrase and that kind of thing. So my wife, Heather, actually made a comment shortly after I started working with Basecamp. And she was like, yeah, your texts, like, they don't sound as mean and grumpy as you used to. And I was like, yes.
It's working.
That's why. So, Dana, you know, speaking of remote, it's really easy to, isolate ourselves when we have a bad day, you know, cut ourselves off from the rest of the team and just going to be like, leave me alone. I don't want to do anything. Just stay away. Is that like a good thing to do? I mean, you're like minimizing damage, I guess, at that point, but is it the right thing?
I think, again, it kind of depends on why you're grumpy. I mean, sometimes I will just wake up on the wrong side of the bed and just be in a pissy mood from the first moment. And I do kind of separate myself from the team at that point because I don't want it to spread. I don't want to like cause that domino effect of like, okay, she's being really frustrated. Now you're really frustrating. Now I'm having a bad day and then causing like other people. But otherwise, like if I'm upset with someone or I'm upset about a ticket, I'm a really direct person. I'm that person who will like send a message to someone like, hey, you know, you sounded kind of pissy here. Is there something I can help with? Or if there's just a customer that's being like, you know, really rubbing me the wrong way, I'll post in our Slack room. I'll be like, you know, I'm stuck on this. They're really kind of making me upset, you know, just like a heads up to people. Which I think makes me come across as whiny sometimes, but that's just the whole text communication thing.
Yeah, I think it's a balance when you do something like that, because I know I've run across like frustrating customers before, and I don't want to just like I need somebody to talk to about something like that. And so you reach out to people on your team or post it in the chat and that kind of thing. I think that's good as long as like you don't, like there's a balance between customers that are frustrating and people that are frustrating, along with like people that are really great to work with, people that you love talking to, you know. Otherwise your outlet here becomes nothing more than like a negativity drain kind of thing, if that makes sense.
I have actually worked at places where everyone just kind of vented to everyone else, and all it did was just make everyone negative and unhappy all the time. So it is definitely one where sometimes if you're just negative, you just need to not talk to people. You know, you need to go pet your dog, take a walk, and then like come back to things. Sometimes venting hurts.
It's one of those, again, with the deli, and I don't want anybody to think like this deli was a horrible place or anything. It's just, I learned a lot. I'll put it that way. You know, you would work with managers who would come in and point out, you know, here's a flaw, here's a flaw, here's a problem. And that was all that they would talk about. And that kind of, you know, set the mood for that shift in the deli. Whereas you had other managers who come in and you know, they pointed out problems that we had, but on the flip side, they'd also point out like when employees were doing really great things and doing things the right way and, you know, give that praise along with criticism, that kind of thing. As long as there's the balance, you're okay, I think, at the end of the day. Last question. One of the things that we often do after having a bad day is go out and in the immortal words of Parks and Recs, treat yourself. You know, ice cream, a guilty pleasure Netflix kind of thing, whatever it is, right? I've always battled with that, at least for myself, because, you know, if I have a bad day and I go out and get a Snickers Blast from Sonic, that's one of my guilty pleasures. It just kind of feels like, oh, you know, if I have more bad days, then I get more Sonic Blast. It's okay that way. Chase, we'll start with you. You know, do you have like a reward myself kind of thing if I have a bad day?
Not so much, I guess. I guess like I mentioned at the top of the show, it's more, you know, trying to find things that help me de-stress. I definitely have reward things that are nice. You know, I like to go see movies occasionally. So if, you know, it's been an exceptionally bad week or something like that, I may, you know, treat myself to something like that or, you know, other things. But in general, there's nothing, in particular, I guess I would say that, that is a reward for a bad day. Unless there's just been maybe a string of them. And then, you know, that might turn into some sort of a larger reward, I guess.
So, Dana, besides the whole Rage Against the Machine thing, is there any other kind of reward that you give yourself? Sorry, now that I know that, I'm just not going to let it go.
It's fine. No, so I am much like you in that I will go and get ice cream. Dairy Queen Peanut Buster Parfait. Unfortunately, I'm very much a stress eater. So for me, if I get really, really stressed out, if I don't find another outlet, I will end up eating a burger and fries and ice cream and and stuff like that. So that's when I battle against. But I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing. I try and keep it to like the end of the week. So if it's been a bad week, then Friday night, I can do whatever I want. And then when it comes to like guilty pleasure, Netflix, you know what the biggest perk to working remotely is? If you're just having a bad day, you can put that guilty pleasure show on while you're working.
Yep, this is true.
And There you go. That's like the perfect de-stress, really.
Because seriously, you're not going to have a bad day if Parks and Rec is playing in the background.
I'm sorry, Parks and Rec is not a guilty pleasure. Parks and Rec is just awesome.
Okay, well then maybe like some of the horrible sci-fi shows. Yeah.
It's all about the horrible sci-fi shows for me, or maybe like home renovation shows. I can easily work through them, and then like they just boost my mood.
What are you talking about? HGTV with the renovation lady? Like, she rocks. She's great.
She does rock, yeah. She boosts my mood.
So there's the trick. Eat ice cream and hamburgers and watch Netflix or HGTV.
Learn how to remodel
while
your house.
While working.
No. Oh, all right. So that's some of the ways that we deal with, you know, just those lousy days that you're bound to have. Everyone has them. I think that's the biggest thing. You know, if you don't take anything else away, everyone has bad days. We're not going to criticize you if you talk to any of us and say, yes, I have a frustrating customer. Yes, I let that make my day go bad. That kind of thing. That happens. It everyone goes through that. So don't feel, you know, isolated, especially you remote workers out there. Don't feel like you're all alone just when you go through one of these days, because that's what we're here for, which is also a good plug for the Support Driven Chat. If you're not in there, that's one of the great outlets that we have. You can get more info on that, supportops.co/chat. And while you're on the Support Ops site, go ahead and click that contact button and let us know how you deal with those lousy days. You know, just let us know how what your guilty pleasure is, your Netflix guilty pleasure, or your DQ/Sonic guilty pleasure. If I had a DQ, I'd go there, but if we get a Sonic, that's about as close as we get. Oh, all right. So that brings us to our favorite part of each and every week. Jeff's gone. Dadgum.
She's ready.
To the rescue. Yeah. It's this week's shout outs. These are the things that are making us happy. So happy we're going to shout them out from the rooftops and the mountaintops and let you know that you should be buying, doing, reading, watching, whatever this thing. So let's go. Since Chase Livingston was on the ball there, it was fantastic. What's your shout out?
So not just because he's the CEO of the company I work for, but Matt Mullenweg is a pretty cool guy, just in general. And, he was a guest on the latest episode of the Tim Ferriss show podcast thing. I haven't actually finished listening to it yet because it's like a 2.5 hour long podcast, but, so far there's a lot of really cool information just about, you know, kind of the tips and tricks and productivity things that, he did when he, started building WordPress, and you know, as he's continued to become, you know, CEO of a multi-hundred person company and that kind of thing. So I would highly recommend listening to that episode if you're at all interested in, you know, tech entrepreneurship and that kind of thing.
Diana, what's your shout out for this week?
So this is a really timely one for this topic. It's an app service called Headspace. It's all about like meditation and stuff, but I've been using it a lot lately because they've got like de-stressing ones. So, you know, if you've had a bad day, you take a little 10-minute meditation session using Headspace. You know, if you're the kind of person who wants to find a way to kind of quiet your mind, it's been working pretty well for me. And it's a way to get through a bad day too.
Leave it to Diana to come like with one that ties into everything. Dadgum. That like raises the bar for everybody else. Mine is kind of sort of a shameless plug here, because Basecamp does sponsor a fantastic publication called The Distance that Wayland Wong does, and it's absolutely fantastic. It's all about businesses that have been around for a long time, 25 years or more. And these aren't, you know, especially in the tech world, like we're always hearing about, oh, you know, that app that's like 6 months old and now they've got $50 billion to do with. Like, it's just frustrating. So it was kind of refreshing when Jason, you know, come up with the idea about The Distance and Basecamp got to sponsor it and all that kind of fun stuff. But anyways, all that to say that Wayland is now doing a podcast along with the stories, which is really great. It's a short podcast. The first one that she did was just 12 minutes long. So if you're like me and you know, can't sit still for 3.5 hours for most podcasts. That 12, 15 minutes was really fantastic. And it just, you know, it breathes more life into the businesses that she features on the site. So go check it out. TheDistance.com/podcast is where all that info is. So we'll have that along with all the other show notes up at supportops.co. Like we said, make sure to click that contact link to let us know how you deal with those bad days so we can get some more ideas. And hopefully I can get out of my Snickers addiction as far as this blast go. We'll be back next Monday. Same bat time, same bat channel. So until we see you then, have an awesome week.